This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to identify emotional triggers in yourself. A practical system for finding what sets you off before it costs you. In short, your emotional triggers are not random. They follow a pattern rooted in your personal history, and you can learn to identify them before they cause damage. Triggers always leave physical signals in your body before they reach your words or actions. The situation that sets you off is really the real source of the reaction. Identifying your triggers requires consistent reflection, not just willpower in the moment. Definition: emotional triggers are specific situations, words, tones, or behaviors that consistently provoke a disproportionate emotional response in you. They are rooted in past experiences or core beliefs, and activate your threat response system faster than conscious thought, often bypassing your rational mind entirely. There is a meeting I still think about. I was 4 to 3 years old, experienced, and certain I had my emotions well in hand. A colleague questioned one of my decisions in front of the whole team. Nothing dramatic. A calm, reasonable question. But something in me ignited. My jaw tightened, my voice went flat, and I dismissed him in a way that shut the room down. I watched the energy drain out of the table. I told myself he had been disrespectful. I was wrong. He had asked a fair question, and I had reacted as though I were being attacked. I did not know, at the time, how to identify emotional triggers in myself. I did not even know I had them in any specific, traceable sense. I just assumed certain people were difficult, certain situations were stressful, and that was that. What I understand now, after decades of getting this wrong, and slowly getting it right, is that the trigger was never about him. It was about something much older. And until I learned to find it, map it, and name it, I kept paying the price. Why spotting your own triggers feels impossible in the moment. The difficulty is not a character flaw. It is a timing problem. Your brain processes a perceived threat before your conscious mind has registered what is happening. By the time you notice the heat in your chest or the sharpness in your voice, the reaction is already underway. Trying to manage yourself at that point is like trying to stop a wave after it has already broken. This is the core of what many people call the amygdala hijack, and how it escalates workplace tension in high-pressure moments. The second difficulty is that triggers carry a story with them. When something activates you, it does not just produce a feeling. It produces a conviction. You are certain the other person was being dismissive, or unfair, or deliberately undermining you. That certainty makes it very hard to pause and ask whether your interpretation is accurate. Self-awareness, in this context, is not about being calm. It is about developing enough knowledge of your own patterns that you can recognize what is happening slightly earlier each time, until the gap between trigger and response becomes wide enough to act in. Before you start, one thing must be in place. You cannot map your triggers honestly if you are in the middle of defending yourself from them. The precondition for this whole process is a basic willingness to be wrong about your own reactions. Not self-blame. Not constant self-criticism. Just an openness to the possibility that when you feel attacked, wronged, or disrespected, the situation may have touched something older than today's conversation. If you are not there yet, that is fine. But recognizing it as a precondition will save you a lot of time. Without it, the steps below become an exercise in confirming what you already believe about other people, which is the opposite of self-awareness. How to identify emotional triggers. A step-by-step process. Step 1. Start with the body, not the thought. Your body registers a trigger before your mind names it. The physical signal, a tightening in the chest, heat in the face, a sudden flatness in your energy, is your earliest warning system. Before you can use these signals, you need to know what yours actually are. Spend 1 week simply noticing your physical state in difficult conversations. Do not try to interpret anything yet. Just ask, what is happening in my body right now? Write it down within an hour of the event, while it is still fresh. Step 2. Log the situation with no interpretation yet. After any interaction that left you active or unsettled, write 3 things: what happened, facts only, no story, what you felt in your body, and what your first instinct was to say or do. Keep it to 5 sentences or fewer. The discipline here is staying with the facts. Not she made me feel dismissed. Instead, she replied to my question with a short answer and turned back to her screen. The interpretation comes later. Right now, you're building a record. Step 3. Find the pattern across multiple entries. After 2 weeks of logging, read back through your entries and look for common threads. What types of situations appear repeatedly? What physical sensations keep coming up? Which people or context show up more than once? You are looking for the shape of the pattern, not a single incident. One reaction tells you very little. A cluster of similar reactions across different people and settings tells you something real. This is where the self-awareness work genuinely begins to show itself. Step 4. Name the belief underneath the trigger. Every recurring trigger sits on top of a belief. That belief is usually something about how you expect to be treated, what fairness looks like, or what your competence means to your sense of worth. Common examples. Competent people do not need to have their decisions questioned in front of others. Or, being interrupted means the other person does not respect what I have to say. Ask yourself, honestly, what would have to be true for this situation to be as threatening as my body treated it? That answer points to the belief. Step 5. Trace the belief back to its source. This step requires patience, and sometimes courage. The belief driving your trigger did not form last Tuesday. It formed somewhere earlier, often in a workplace where you genuinely were undermined, or in a family where certain things were not safe to say, or in a situation where your competence or worth was actually under threat. You are not looking to assign blame or to relitigate the past. You are simply trying to understand why a particular kind of situation carries so much weight for you now. When you can see the source clearly, the present-day trigger loses some of its grip. Understanding what is really happening, as opposed to what the situation is triggering, is the foundation of genuine self-regulation. The core framework for staying grounded during a tense workplace conversation builds directly on this kind of self-knowledge. Step 6. Identify your personal early warning signal. Once you know your pattern, you can define your specific signal, the one sign that reliably appears just before a full reactive response. For some people, it is a physical sensation. For others, it is a particular thought pattern or a sudden urge to go quiet or to speak too quickly. Name it clearly. Write it as a single sentence. My trigger warning signal is the signal becomes your cue to pause before responding. The 3-second pause that stops tension escalation only works if you know what to look for in yourself first. Step 7. Test your map in real situations. Take what you have found back into the field. The next time you feel the physical signal, name the trigger silently to yourself. This is the competence trigger. This is the interruption pattern. You are not suppressing the feeling. You are labeling it, which creates a small but real separation between the stimulus and your response. Over time, that separation grows. Naming a trigger does not eliminate it, but it changes your relationship to it entirely. Adapting this process for high conflict settings. In highly charged environments where tension is ongoing and trust is low, this process needs adjustment. The logging step becomes harder when you are in a state of chronic stress. Your baseline is already elevated, which means the contrast between calm and triggered is compressed. In these settings, drop the expectation of identifying nuanced patterns quickly. Focus only on the physical signal step at first. Just track, did I feel the physical response today? Where? When? That is enough to start. Do not attempt to trace beliefs back to their source while you're still in the environment that is activating them daily. That work requires distance and safety. Do it in the evening, away from the context, or with a trusted person outside the situation. When the stakes are high and feedback already feels loaded, the core framework for staying calm, when feedback triggers a defensive reaction, gives you the in-the-moment structure to hold yourself steady while you continue the longer work of self-mapping. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where this process usually goes wrong. The first mistake. Confusing a trigger with a legitimate grievance. The mistake. You decide that your strong reaction proves the other person was wrong, so you stop examining your own pattern. Why it happens. Triggers feel like evidence. The intensity of the feeling convinces you that the situation was genuinely threatening. What to do instead? Ask. Would everyone in this room have had the same reaction I just had? If the answer is probably not, you're dealing with a trigger, not just a difficult person. The second mistake. Logging only the extreme reactions. The mistake. You only write in the log when something big happens, which means you miss the smaller, more frequent patterns that reveal the most. Why it happens. The dramatic incidents feel important. The mild irritations feel too trivial to document. What to do instead? Lug anything that left you with a faint residue of unease, even if you handled it well outwardly. The quiet reactions are often more diagnostic than the explosive ones. The third mistake. Stopping at the surface label. The mistake. You identify being interrupted as your trigger and stop there, without examining the belief underneath it. Why it happens. Naming the surface trigger feels like enough. It provides temporary relief without requiring deeper examination. What to do instead? Always ask the follow-up question. And if that is true, what does that mean about me or about how I expect to be treated? Keep asking until you reach a belief, not just a situation. Managers who develop this depth of self-knowledge consistently handle tension with more composure, which is precisely what the confidence-competence loop in tension management demonstrates. Your personal trigger mapping tool. Use this as a repeatable reflection practice. Run through it within an hour of any interaction that left you reactive, unsettled, or uncharacteristically quiet. Number 1. What happened? Write the facts only. No interpretation. 2 to 3 sentences maximum. Number 2. What did I feel in my body? Name the physical sensation and where you felt it. Number 3. What was my first instinct? What did you want to say or do before you edited yourself? Number 4. What story did I tell myself about the other person's intention? Number 5. What would have to be true for this to feel as threatening as it did? This is your belief probe. Number 6. Have I felt this before? Note any similar past situations, even briefly. Number 7. What was my early warning signal this time? Name the specific sign that appeared just before the reaction peaked. Review your completed entries once a week. After a month, you will have a personal trigger map with more accuracy than any personality profile or generic stress inventory could provide. Use it. When you sit down to prepare for a difficult conversation, check it first. The conversation pre-mortem for high-stakes discussions becomes significantly more useful once you know exactly which of your triggers that conversation is likely to activate. What you can do with this knowledge. Knowing your triggers does not make you invulnerable. It makes you honest with yourself at a level that changes how you behave with other people. When you give corrective feedback to a team member and you already know you have a strong trigger around being challenged publicly, you can prepare differently. You can choose your setting, your words, and your posture with real intention rather than crossing your fingers and hoping the conversation stays calm. The SBI method for giving corrective feedback is a strong tool, but it works best in the hands of someone who knows what they personally bring into those conversations. Here's the truth of it. The work of learning to identify emotional triggers is not comfortable, and it is never completely finished. New pressures surface old patterns. New relationships reveal blind spots you thought you had cleared. But every time you catch a trigger one moment earlier than you did before, you earn a little more choice in how you respond. That choice, built slowly and honestly over time, is what genuine self-awareness actually looks like in practice. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to identify emotional triggers? To identify emotional triggers means to recognize the specific people, situations, words, or events that consistently provoke a strong emotional reaction in you. It involves noticing your physical and mental responses and tracing them back to a pattern rooted in your personal history or core beliefs. How do you identify emotional triggers in yourself? Start by tracking the moments when your reaction feels bigger than the situation warrants. Write down what happened, what you felt physically, and what story you told yourself. Over time, patterns emerge that point directly to your underlying triggers and the beliefs driving them. Why is it so hard to identify emotional triggers before they fire? Because triggers activate your threat response system faster than conscious thought. By the time you realize you're reacting, the reaction has already started. Building self-awareness through daily reflection gradually trains your brain to notice the early warning signals before the full reaction takes hold. What are common emotional triggers in the workplace? Common workplace triggers include being interrupted or talked over, receiving critical feedback in public, feeling excluded from decisions, having your competence questioned, and being ignored or dismissed. These situations tend to activate deeper beliefs about respect, fairness, or personal worth that were formed long before the job. How long does it take to identify your emotional triggers? Most people begin to see clear patterns within 2 to 4 weeks of consistent daily reflection. Identifying the surface trigger is faster than understanding the deeper belief beneath it, which can take several months of honest self-examination and sometimes direct conversation with people who know you well. Can self-awareness stop emotional triggers from firing? Self-awareness does not eliminate triggers, but it gives you the gap between stimulus and response that allows you to choose your reaction. Over time, regular reflection and deliberate practice reduce both the intensity of the trigger and the time it takes you to recover your composure after it fires. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.